We're going to talk today about, as you saw, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So Colin told us before that the kids have been looking at what would Jesus do or what would Jesus think. And this is one of the stories that they did a couple of weeks ago. And I really like that everything that we have done this morning so far is leading up to this. It's really cool. All those labels and really very, very good. So I'm just going to get straight into it. I don't need to read the story because it's been done for us with the little, what is it he says, kids? Hello, is that what he says? Who was it who was doing the voices as it was coming?
Everyone.
It was so great. Very good. All right, so the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, if you want to look at it later, can be found in Luke 18 and verses 9 to 14. So the first thing that I want us to have a look, I'm literally just going to chat to you about the parable today, just start at the beginning and just go through. And I think some of the kids might be able to help me. I heard Colin say it before, but I want to have a think about what a parable is first. So hands up, who can tell me what a parable is? Oh, Riley's got his hand up. Can you tell me what it is?
It's a doobie flicky.
It's a doobie flicky. Yes, it is. What else is it? We've got an answer over here, Sophie. Oh, an instructional story. That was a very nice way of saying it. Exactly right. That was very good. Top marks. I like the wording of that. Yeah, I know. Colin's doing a good job with them up there. Alrighty-o. So a parable is a story that Jesus told so that we can be taught something. So what I want us to do today while we're going through this story is to have a think about, okay, I know we've heard this story many times. It's something that we're quite familiar with, but I want you to be having a think about, what am I going to learn from this today? What is it that God's trying to say to me through this today? That was the point of a parable to begin with. So let's go with that. Now, apologies for having to keep unlocking my phone. Right, got it. So I want us to have a start by having a look at the Pharisee. I'm going to have a Pharisee friend come up and join me on stage in a moment. There he is. Look at him. My little Pharisee friend over there. Let's have a look at the Pharisees. Now, I think in order to understand why Jesus chose to tell a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector, I think in order to understand why he chose those two characters, we need to understand a little bit about who the Pharisees were in the time of Jesus. So I'm going to take you on a little adventure through the Bible, starting from the beginning. We might be here all day. We won't be. But if you have a think right back to the beginning of the Bible, right back to Genesis, and we see all the way back there that God decided to choose a people to make his own, to separate, to, you know, be his, to be holy. And he did that through the line of Abraham. And then the Israelites who came from them, they ended up in Egypt, and Moses led them out. Now put up your hand if you know who Moses is. Good. Okay, we're doing really well so far. All right, so Moses was given the law by God. So God had all of these rules and regulations which he gave to the people so that they could be separated before God. They could have, you know, live by God's standard and not by their own standards. And all of that can be found right at the beginning of the Bible in the first few chapters, in the first few books, rather. And then from there, the Israelites, you know, they mucked it up so often that God ended up exiling them out. I'm doing a Bible in the Year reading plan at the moment, and I'm really close to the exile. So I'm starting to get all the doom and gloom. God exiled them. They ended up in a different country completely. And then they came back after that eventually. And then that's sort of the end of the Old Testament. We don't really hear very much between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But during that time, what happened was the remnant that came back to Israel, they were, you know, living there. But has anyone heard, see, you heard of Moses, let's see if anyone has heard of this person. Has anyone here heard of Alexander the Great? We've got a few. I'm trained as a history teacher, so I feel like I've got to get some history in here while I'm up here. Alexander the Great came through and created a massive Greek empire, massive. You know, he never was defeated in battle, isn't that cool? To be a ruler who's never defeated. Actually, I don't want to be a ruler who's in battle to begin with, but I think that that's really cool. He's a great figure in history. But he came through, and what happened was the Israelites started to live in this time where there was huge amounts of Greek culture, and they were living that way. It wasn't good. They weren't living by God's standards anymore. And what happened was this group of people decided to start to try and bring God's standards back again by the law. And that group, you know, they fought, they joined a few wars and a few rebellions against the Greeks. And then eventually they became the Pharisees that we hear of in the Bible. So there were people who were experts in the law. They had been trained to be experts in the law. And it used to be the priests back in the Old Testament. The priests were the ones who you would go to if you wanted to know about the law. But there was a lot of corruption. It wasn't great. And so by Jesus' time, it was the Pharisees who you would go to if you wanted to know something about it. So that's who they were. And they were very, very big on following the law right down to its, you know, very last letter. And they were very big on making sure they were ritualistically pure. And there's all of this stuff in the law. In order to get right before God, you have to go through this whole process. And that's what they were really, really strong on and really big on. But the problem was the Pharisees started to not do such a good job at holding God's standards, because they had the law, they tried to follow the law, but they started to look down on the people around them because they thought they were so good at the law. And because they wanted to be pure all the time, they wouldn't go and associate with just the normal people because they might become impure. And they started to look down on people. And Colin said it really well when he said, you know, we started to label people. That's what they started to do. So they said, you know, they particularly didn't like the prostitutes or the tax collectors or all of these people who they thought were mucky and not very nice. And they started to separate themselves out from those people. And we see also that the Pharisees, like this Pharisee in the story, I don't know if you remember in the, from the story, but it says that he came in and he says to God, when he's praying, he says, "Thank you, God, that I am not like all of those evildoers, the robbers and the thieves and the adulterers, and I'm not like that tax collector over there. He's pretty rotten. I don't like him." And he says, you know, "I do all of these great things. I tithe, I give my 10%, and I fast twice a week." You know what fasting is, kids? Yeah? It does mean giving up. Very good. They would put on this great show of giving up food twice a week. And the interesting thing is about the Pharisees that they were following the law, right? But the law never actually said they needed to do that. It never said they had to fast twice a week. There was one day of fasting in a year, the Day of Atonement. That's all that God had required of them to begin with. So it was just this custom, this thing that they started to do because they thought it was a good thing to do. And they really liked to get the praise of people while they did that too. So the thing was, you know, they were trying, I guess, to do the right thing. They were trying to uphold God's standards that he'd set right back at the beginning of the Bible. But all that really happened is we ended up with a group of people who looked down on people, who labelled people, who started to get caught up in stuff that was really quite meaningless, like stuff that God had never required of them to begin with. And the really sad thing about the Pharisees was that despite the fact that they tried to uphold the law, they actually missed the heart of the law in all of that. So some people might be able to help me out with this one. So I think I've heard, oh, Joel's already going to be able to help me out. What's the answer? I didn't ask a question, it's okay. The thing with the law is that all of it was actually meant to point to God. And we see that Jesus actually says that the main point of the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul. Oh, really good, Joel. See, Joel could help me out in the end. It was to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind or strength, and to love your neighbor. Very good. To love your neighbor as yourself. Good job, kids. Colin, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job up there. So the Pharisees actually used the law to distance themselves from people, to justify them not going around people. But the whole point of the law was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So they didn't do a very good job of that. And, you know, God actually, right through the Old Testament, had warned against us taking on all of this meaningless tradition and getting caught up in the wrong thing. If we have a look at Isaiah 1... this is where I've been reading recently, Isaiah 1. We're getting into a bit of doom and gloom. But Isaiah 1, right at the beginning, he says to the people of Israel, he's like, "I don't care. I don't care about your offerings that you're bringing to me. In fact, I detest them." And he says, this is actually what he wants. In verse 17, he says, "I want you to seek justice. I want you to encourage the oppressed. I want you to defend the cause of the fatherless and to plead the case of the widow." That's what he wanted. That's what the Pharisees were forgetting about. And again in Isaiah 58, he's not talking to the Pharisees here, but he may as well have been. He's talking to the people of Israel who were getting all caught up in fasting and putting on a show of it and, you know, sort of doing the right thing, but not really. And same thing, he says, that's not what I want. That's not the kind of fasting I want. I do not like it when you come and do that. What I want you to do is this. He says, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? This is in Isaiah 58. I want you to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. He says, is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. So here's the thing with the Pharisees. They looked really good on the outside. Here's my little fellow back up there again. They looked really good on the outside. They looked like they were following the law. They were the people who were respected by the law. But actually, they weren't very nice people. They looked down on people. They labelled people. And they completely forgot, in the midst of all of that, to actually do what God wanted to begin with, which is to love people. A bit like this. Oh, it's so gross. Banana skins are possibly the grossest thing I can think of. And so I think this image is sort of, it is quite good because we see, you know, someone's prettied up the banana with a whole heap of diamantes, made it look really good. I quite like sparkly things. But inside, so the outside looks really nice, but on the inside, it's just, ugh, it's gross. So disgusting. So what I want us to have a think about with the Pharisee is, because I heard Colin say it before. He was talking here, Jesus was talking to the people who were looking down on others and who thought that they could, had their own great righteous way of living. And I think often that reflects the people in the church. Not always. I think that we can have really, you know, we can seek God and have hearts that seek him. But I think we need to be really careful not to become like the Pharisee, not to become like this with the really nice outside, but the rotten inside. I know it's so easy for us in the church, and I'm talking about the church, the Western church sort of globally, it's so easy for us to look down on certain groups of people outside the church and say, I don't want anything to do with that, or even worse, to condemn them on social media or just in our everyday way that we talk and the way that we live. I think it's so sad when I see it on social media and it just spreads because, you know, God never ever called us to condemn people. That's not our job. Our job is just to love people. And it's so easy to do that and become like the Pharisees and say, thank goodness I'm not like those people over there, and separate ourselves from them. You know, I think if Jesus came here today, I wonder, you know, would he want to come out and hang with us on church on a Sunday morning? Or would he be out there with the people that we, you know, look down upon, or the people that we think aren't good enough, or the people that we separate us from? And I wonder if we'd be surprised about where Jesus chose to hang when he came, if he came to earth right now. And I think that's something for us to have a really good hard think about. But the other thing about this is that, you know, it's so easy for us to get caught up as well in the, you know, I go to church on a Sunday morning, I read my Bible, I sing all the four songs, I put my hands up when I worship, all of which are really, really good things, by the way. I'm not saying they're bad things, they are good things. But the problem is that if we make them our focus and think we're living a good life because we're just doing those things, then like the Pharisee, again, we're completely missing the point. Completely getting caught up in the, you know, I fast twice a week sort of attitude, when what God's actually calling us to do is to love people and to love him. Love people and to love him. So let's not be like the Pharisee, right? Let's not be like the pretty outside of the banana, but the really horrible inside of the banana. I mean, we want the outside to be good, yeah, but it's much more important to have the inside good. Which brings me to the tax collector. So tax collectors, as we saw in the video, were looked down upon. Here we go. Okay, this is my picture of the tax collector. You can just see his hand because he's shaking out all your money. Just for fun, a bit later, by the way, just Google tax collector images and you come up with all sorts of random things. It's good fun. But that's the one I liked, tax collectors. So tax collectors were looked down upon by people in society. In fact, they were really just not liked by anyone. For a couple of reasons. Firstly, because at this point in time, so the Greeks, I said before, the Greeks had taken over Israel. Now in Jesus' time, it's the Romans who have created a big empire, and they are the ones controlling Israel or Judea. And what they had to do then, the people of Israel had to pay taxes to Caesar, to the emperor of Rome. And the tax collectors were the ones who collected the taxes. So they weren't liked because they were considered traitors, for a start, because, you know, they were giving the money to the ruling power. but also just because they would cheat and they would lie and they would do exactly this. They would take more of your money than you actually needed to give them so that they could take a large cut of it themselves and just give what was necessary. So they were looked down upon by almost everyone in society. They were right down there with the low of the low. And yet in our story, the tax collector comes in and he doesn't start saying, you know, God, I'm so good. God, I do this. No, completely opposite. He comes in and he says that he beats his breast and he cries out to God saying, have mercy on me. Now you have to understand, back in this time, again, a little history lesson, the beating of the breast, you see it right through the Old Testament as a sign of intense grief. We're not just talking about like, you know, something went wrong today and I'm upset. I'm talking about big, intense grief. We see it in Isaiah and Jeremiah when their land, like the Israelites' land is taken from them and they go into exile and it says, you know, God says to them, beat your breast because of how bad this is. So when the tax collector comes in, he is sad, really, really sad. And he is completely understanding how not worthy he is of being before Jesus, before, you know, coming in before God. And he shows complete penitence, complete, like he comes in and he just says, God, you know, I am not good enough. And that's the heart that Jesus is looking for, because he says it was the tax collector that went home justified before God. Now, justified, I thought I'd have a look at what that meant, because, you know, what does it mean to be justified before God? Well, this is really cool. Just bear with me for a bit, because it's a little bit of, you know, a few points here. But to be justified before God means this. So when we believe in God as our Saviour, as Christ as our Saviour, what he did for us when he died and he rose again, and we believe in faith in him as our Saviour, he does two things for us. The first thing that he does is he declares us not guilty. So he forgives us. He takes away our sin. Declares us not guilty. And the second thing that he does is he declares us righteous. And righteous is another one of those words where we say it all the time, but we don't really know what it means all the time, I think. Does anyone know what righteous means? Right. Righteous, any adults? Righteous. See, no one knows what it means. Righteous. To be righteous just means to be in right standing with God. So God says, do you know what? When we are justified, he takes away our guilt, takes away our sin, takes away our shame, and he says, I'm going to make you right with me, in right standing with me. So the Pharisee, he came in and he said, God, look at all these wonderful things that I do. Aren't I great? But that was just a self-righteousness. He was trying to get right with God by the things that he did, and we know that his heart was rotten. It wasn't good enough. And the thing is, if we have a look in Romans 3, for some reason, my phone does not recognize my fingerprint on my left hand. I don't know why. It's taking me a while to get in. Romans 3, verse 20. It says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight, in God's sight, by observing the law. No one can be declared righteous by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So the Pharisee got it completely wrong. He tried to become right with God by the things that he did, but he had it completely wrong. And the cool thing is that Jesus came and Jesus lived this perfect life and he has always been in right standing with God. And what happens is because of what he did for us when he died, this amazing thing happens where his perfect life and his righteousness is then given to us even though we completely and utterly don't deserve it. Like completely don't deserve it. It blows my mind when I was thinking about it. The fact that Jesus, who lived this perfect life and is righteous and is the only one who could ever be righteous before God, just based on who they are, he gives us his righteousness, free of charge, nothing that we have to do. He gives it to us. You know when we sing about, you know, making us white as snow? That's what it's talking about. He's taking away our sin and he's giving us his righteousness. It's such an amazing image when you think about it. Such a big gift. You can't even... I think that we often think about it and just sort of glance, you know, yeah, Jesus saved me, I'm forgiven. But oh my goodness, we're forgiven and we're given his righteousness. It's so amazing. When we look back in Romans 3, just a bit further down in verse 22, it says this righteousness from God, not from yourself, nothing that we can do, not like the Pharisee. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So we've got, you know, we've got our Pharisee and we've got our tax collector. We've got our Pharisee who's ugly and awful on the outside, on the inside, but, you know, puts on a good show on the outside. And then we have our tax collector, considered the worst of the worst, no one would want to be around, and yet he had a heart that sought after God. And I've got another image coming up. There it is. How cool is this? These blow my mind. Do you know what I really wanted to do? I wanted to go and find a kit where you can, you know, get them and smash them on the stage and find, like, they're called a geode, if you're wondering. They're pretty cool. But, like, they're just this rock. And if you picked up that rock, it'd be like, whatever, it's a rock. It's actually quite an ugly rock. But on the inside is this amazing opal. And that's a, like, you know, just because it's on the outside bad doesn't mean it's going to be bad on the inside. I actually have one, which used to be Grand's, which she... Sorry, I do not have one. Joel has one. do you want to come and show everyone, Joel? Show everyone this side first. So what have we got? So we've got a rock. And again, it's not like, you know, it's a rock. It's nothing particularly special. But someone has taken this rock and cut down into it. And on the inside of the rock, can you show everyone what you see? I'm the only one who can see that at the moment, I think. There we go. It's like, it's really pretty on the inside. It's quite amazing. And that's what it's like... Oh, honey, come on. Anyway, that's I think, what the tax collector was like. So what I want us to have a think about is, okay, this parable's teaching us something. I think this parable is teaching us that it's not what's on the outside at all that counts, but it's what our heart is like. So I want to ask you, you know, what's your heart like? How often are we like the Pharisees? You know when I was going through this that there are so many times when I do the things that the Pharisee did that he was, you know, that God warned against. You know, how often can we judge people, like those labels that we looked at earlier? How often do we get caught up in just meaningless stuff? But what I think God really wants us to do is to come before him and to just say, God, you know, I can't do this on my own. There is no way I can ever have a relationship with you. I do not deserve it at all, and to recognize that we're totally in need of his mercy. And when we get our heart right, that's when God can use us. When we come before God and we recognize our need for him and our need for repentance and our need completely for his mercy, that's when God is able to use us and mold us. And he's able, when he takes our heart of love for him, he's able to actually use us to make a difference in the lives of the people he cares about. The people who, I think if Jesus was here today, he'd probably be out there. And I think that we should be too, out there just loving people and showing them, just, you know, God loves you so much. Because the thing is that God cares so much about those who don't know him yet. And we can so often get on our high horse and judge them instead of just loving them like God calls us to. So I want to ask you, like, as we look at this parable of, you know, the Pharisee and the tax collector, what is it that we can learn? Well, you know, what's your heart like? And I know, you know, as I was going through this thinking, oh my goodness, I've got so much I need to work on in my heart. Because how often is our heart just muck? But the thing is that the muckness of our hearts, you know, God can wipe that completely away from us. And yeah, let's just come before him with the right attitude, right? And not like that of the Pharisee. Cool. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you have given us your righteousness, that there's nothing that we have to do to earn your righteousness. It is purely because you are good that we can be in right standing with you. And it's purely because you gave your life for us that we can come and stand before you. And God, we do ask that you would forgive us for when we've been more like the Pharisee, when we've had stuff in our hearts that just doesn't honour you, or when we've been caught up in the wrong stuff and caught up in stuff that doesn't mean anything. But God, we just pray that as we come before you now, as we come before you and just say, you know, we recognise that there's nothing that we can do to earn your love. We say thank you that you give it to us freely anyway. And God, we pray as we humble ourselves before you, God, I pray that you would lead us the way that you want us to go, that you would show us who it is that you're calling us to love and what it is that you're calling us to do. Yeah, we love you, God. And if anything that I've spoken about today, you know, resonates with you and you haven't got that relationship with God yet and you haven't you haven't understood that, you know, we can be made righteous in him and him alone and only by his cleansing of his blood, then if you would like to be in right relationship with him, I'm going to pray this prayer and you can pray along with me in your heart. Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and I give my life to you. Amen.